following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
Last weekend, a number of folks from Emmanuel were in Chestermere, Alberta, which is just east of Calgary, for the AGM, for our Evangelical Covenant Church of Canada, the ECCC, not the ECC, not the EECC, but the ECCC annual meeting. And so there was business discussed, but there was also a really wonderful opportunity to see and hear about the ministry going on through our denomination, both in Canada and around the world. And so I'm going to invite Rick and Jean, who were our delegates for the meeting, to come up and share a bit about their experience and what stood out to them and those kinds of things. So here you go. Thank you. Take it away.
Thank you for sending us there in the first place. That was such an amazing experience. This box is empty. This crate is empty. But when we arrived at Chestermere and registered for the conference or for the meetings, it was filled with little lovely things, practical things, toothpaste and stuff like that. Cookies, absolutely delicious cookies that try to get them away from Rich Drinov was impossible. But it was really very welcoming. And this church actually does the welcome wagon for Chestermere. Long story, I won't go there. But they do the welcome wagon for Chestermere. So this is actually Kathy's box, so because I didn't have room in my suitcase. So I gave mine to Mavis and Ed. They were there. So I'm just going to pop it down. But anyway, it was a really great experience. And for those of you who've been around a little longer, it was also really great to renew some old friends. We saw Rod Peterson, and his son, who is a clone of him, was in the worship team and playing, and just amazing experience to see them. And, of course, Glenn and Becca. It was so awesome to see Glenn and Becca and hear her and sing and play. And their 8-year-old daughter, Ella, also was up in the worship team. So it was awesome. We also saw Charlene's parents, Myrna and Walter, thank you. And she has written a book. She's written a book. Oh, my goodness, too many things. And this book is written by Myrna. And she signed it and was very grateful for our fellowship with her when she comes. And she asked me to bring it home and share it with the ladies. So I'm going to give it to Frances. And she can share it. Ah, what a brilliant idea. Thank you. So I'm going to give this to Frances, okay? And of course, there's pictures of some very special people in there, too. So that was really fun. The other thing that was wonderful, Ari and Alice came, which was wonderful to have them come. They're new to our membership, new to our fellowship, and they were in the area visiting their family, and they came and took in some of the worship, and Ari came to one of the meetings. And that was really, really awesome. We learned a lot of things at the conference about how we're growing. And I'm sorry, I'm going to offend Allison in a minute here, but the meetings are not just boring budgets and business. They're actually, those are necessary. Sorry, Allison. Necessary. We need to do all of that. They are interspersed with all kinds of ministry moments, they called it. And different pastors, leaders would come forward and share via word, pictures, video of their ministries. And it's so incredibly encouraging. And they had a map of, yes, that's the map. And we go right across the country now. Well, not the Maritimes. That was brought up. That's next. We need to be praying for covenant in the Maritimes. But we've had 3 church plants that have been moved to full churches. 3 traditional church plants are in the works, plus Tim and Di Keener in the Montreal ministry. So it was great to see them there as well. And the other thing I really appreciated about our meetings, it was chaired by, of course, our Rich Drinov, and couldn't be better. And he's just so capable, and he leads it with humor. There were times when he needed much patience, sound systems, and fun things. So, and he does such a great job, and it was just a privilege to be there and see him at work at best. Kathy Drinov and I attended the ladies' meeting, and we appreciated hearing from a couple of the ministries supported by our ladies, the AVA ministry, the Advocate for Victims of Abuse, and the Santiago Partnership. I'm a little bit unfamiliar with that one. Our main speaker was Beth Severson. She brought the BLESS program to us, and she was really very inspiring. And what we loved about the theme actually was kingdom engagement, which I forgot to mention. And she really focused in on loving one another and not condemning, not judging, but just listening and finding out about their needs is what we need to be focusing on in this kingdom engagement. And we attended a workshop entitled Mighty Neighborly, led by the pastor at Lake Ridge Community Church. And very insightful and powerful, very similar message in loving our neighbors and listening to needs. And I think Rick might want to say something.
Mighty Neighborly is a program that we could probably take up here. It's about welcoming your neighbors, and it's everybody. Every neighbor that you see, and that's what these little welcome baskets are. They're full of toothpaste, cookies, anything that a new neighbor would appreciate as they moved in. And it's quite amazing that these things just grow, because they're a new community and new houses going up all the time, and they welcome the people with these little baskets of goodies. And that's just a sample. That's what we got, but the baskets are actually bigger. And it's just the church puts it on by themselves, and they're just a small church about the same size as we are. And another thing I like to talk about is one of the ministries that the Covenant does on the prairies. It's great. It's called Kernels of Hope. And we can all get involved with that. It's a ministry of helping the farmers in Africa plant. Like the Belgians turned down in the Congo the need for help. They said nothing will grow here, but it was volcanic soil and had never been treated. And they are now growing root vegetables and exporting what they're growing because they've got an abundance of what they've had. Excuse me. And this is just one of the things. And they also, there's a Canadian contingency called the Kernels of Hope, and they've called it a virtual farm. For $250, you can purchase an acre on some a grower's farm. And this, the 1 acre goes to the Canadian food banks. And, excuse me, and what happens with that, what we contribute and what the farmer contributes, it's matched by the Canadian government. So that $200 turns into $600 just overnight. So it's a good program to follow, and not only that, but they're starting to train the African people how to farm root vegetables. They're growing carrots, potatoes, cabbage, anything that's soil. And they're actually, some farmers have an abundance of food and they can sell it. And they have, they're opening up food banks, not food banks, but banks so other farmers can purchase other things. It's called the virtual garden, and by $250 we can buy an acre for a virtual garden. So that's all I've got to say.
He doesn't even need notes. Well, touched Rick's heart, touched mine too, but I also was touched by another person named Erica. So I now know two sweet Erikas. And Erica is 13 years old. Oh, the flyer's got... She is the daughter of the pastor from Lake... There she is, from Lakeview Community Church. And she had gone with her church family and, of course, her dad, and they went to Haiti, and they went to Dr. Mano's clinic. And she was really touched because of the age. She's 13, and there were so many children there suffering from diabetes, and they could not afford to get the proper treatments and medication. And so she, I know our church has already done this kind of a ministry, but what she did was she brought, she bought some little bracelets that the Haitians made, and she brought them home, and she sold them, and whatever she sold, the church matched it and was sent off to Haiti. So she came up with, I think it was $2,000, and then she sold a few more at the conference at the weekend and presented Jeff with more again. But what I was so touched by, she's 13, and she was so moved that here in this country of plenty, you can get these things, but she couldn't. They couldn't there. So she was really moved, and that's amazing. Her father is an amazing pastor, too, like ours is, and just full of inspiration and a very outgoing young man and just a wonderful, she's getting great teaching. And the other thing that was for us, we didn't know when we volunteered to be delegates that Jeff Anderson, our superintendent who we've had ever since we've been here, and he's retiring from the ministry, from the superintendent role. He's going off into the Middle East. And so, of course, they had to have, it was his last meeting there, and the meeting was great, but they had a banquet, and of course he had to be roasted. And an amazing skit. I thought I was watching Saturday Night Live. It was absolutely crazy, but also very, very moving. The comments that were made, he's much loved and going to be much missed, he and his wife. So it was really, really special to be there for that. And I just thank you again for being allowing us to go, sending us there. It was a privilege. And I never realized how much of an impact it would have on my life. I always find those uplifting. So if you ever, ever, ever get a chance, it's wonderful to go. Next time's in Winnipeg, so, well... Anyway, it is really a great experience, and to be encouraged by our greater family across the country is really, really very powerful. So thank you again.
Thanks, Rick and Jean. Give you that. Well, good morning again, like fourth time, yeah. Good morning. Welcome to Emmanuel Covenant Church. My name is Eric Hedberg, and I have the joy and the privilege of being the pastor here at Emmanuel. And I'm glad that you're here worshiping with us this morning. As you have heard from Rick and Jean, last weekend was a really wonderful experience in Chestermere. We heard bits and pieces of just the way that God is at work in the individual congregations that span from here all the way to Montreal, the ways that God is at work through the people in our denomination, around the world even. And I'm going to include a couple of my reflections from the AGM as well as we get into the sermon time here. But I want to jump right in first to our text for this morning. And we're reading this morning from Matthew 12, 46 to 50. This is a familiar text, and there are parallels in both Luke and Mark, but we're going to look at the Matthew version. If you don't have a Bible and would like one, feel free to raise your hand. One of our ushers would be happy to bring you one either for today or to keep. But as you are turning there to Matthew 12, 46 to 50, let me pray for us. Creator God, this morning we give you praise and thanks for the opportunity to be together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Draw us close to you, Lord, that we might understand your will for our lives and that we might follow your Son more closely. We pray this all in the name of your Son, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So let's take a look here at Matthew 12, 46 to 50. While Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you." He replied to them, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" Pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." At first glance, I realize that this might seem to be a bit of a strange text to read on Mother's Day. But the lesson Jesus teaches us here is a real vital one for us as a church family. And as we look at the whole of it, we begin to understand what it means to be the big C, church. Jesus here makes a radical statement challenging loyalty to the nuclear family in a culture where that is of the utmost importance. And it feels challenging even to us today, right? But it was even that much more so in the first century AD. And Jesus here, among other places, changes for his followers and pushes his followers on where identity is supposed to be found now. That identity is supposed to be found in him, in Christ, as followers of Christ. Mother's Day is a day that is, for many, a wonderful, beautiful chance to celebrate a relationship between mother and child. And that is an important opportunity to take and should be embraced, certainly. But it's important that we recognize that for others, Mother's Day can be wrought with other emotions. Surrounding Mother's Day, my Facebook feed has been full of stories and memories of those for whom Mother's Day is hard and sad. For those who have lost a mother, for those who have lost a child, for those who want to be mothers who cannot, for those whose relationship between mother and child is strained or not good or continues to be challenging. And all of these are very real issues, experiences, and emotions that come into play on a day like Mother's Day. And so as the church, as believers in Christ, we have a responsibility to respond in a loving and caring way to that full range of emotions and to look at Mother's Day in a way that helps us to feel the embrace of a loving God. Jesus here holds out his arms, points to his disciples, and says, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Our identity as followers of Christ is in him, which means that we are called to care for and love one another as family. The author and theologian Stanley Hauerwas writes, reflecting on this passage, "To be a disciple of Jesus is to be made part of a new community in which the family is reconstituted. We are all children, but now a community has been established in which we are all called to be parents, brothers, and sisters to and for one another. We are all children, but now, as part of this community, we are all called to be parents, brothers, sisters, to and for one another." At the AGM last weekend in Chestermere, one really vivid example of what this can look like came up in the ministerial meeting. So for those of us lucky enough to be clergy, and Rich, who somehow puts himself through an extra meeting just because, you know, he wants to, because he loves meetings, apparently, we get to do a meeting before the meeting where all the pastors have a meeting to get ready for the other meeting. We discuss some different things, but one of the moments in this, or one of the reports in this, was four clergy from Canada took a visioning trip down to Ecuador to learn and to see how the Evangelical Covenant Church of Canada could partner with the Covenant Church of Ecuador. So how the ECCC could partner with the CCE. You get that? All right. Specifically, these four Canadian pastors met with and visited pastors in small towns in the Cayambe region of Ecuador. It's a kind of a mountainous rural region just northeast of Quito, the capital. And the pastors in these towns are native Ecuadorians who pastor part-time, very, very part-time, balancing full-time work farming or other things in their villages. It was interesting talking with a couple of the pastors who went down. They, two of them in particular, were not particularly thrilled about heading out on this trip. One of them really, really would have much preferred to go down and build something. Like, that's his idea of a missions trip. Go down, put up a house, put up a school, put up a medical facility, something. Work with his hands. That's how he felt like he could serve. He did not want to hop on board this trip to just go and talk. And boy, did he have a rich experience once he sat down and talked with these pastors. He learned what it was ministry is for them, how they do ministry. He was challenged in his own ministry because of it. And so these Canadian pastors who reported to the ministerium shared how much they felt connected to and a desire to support their brothers serving in ministry and the churches in this under-resourced region. They saw brothers. They saw family in Ecuador, thousands of miles away, in a context that is incredibly different from our North American context. They found brothers. And they had a desire to treat these men like brothers, and to try to figure out how to resource them going forward. Rick and Jean mentioned, and we saw a picture of Erica, who saw sisters in Haiti and wanted to treat these girls in Haiti like sisters, wanted them to have even a glimpse of the opportunities that she is afforded living in North America. She saw sisters in Christ there. In just a few weeks, a number of folks from Emmanuel are going to be headed to Israel and Palestine. And there, we will meet Palestinian Christians who are brothers and sisters in Christ. And it will be our responsibility and our opportunity to learn how we can support them as such, as family. When our identity is in Christ, when our primary community is in Christ, we learn to see people all over the world as brothers and sisters. We learn to care for others as brothers and sisters, as mothers and fathers. And we have opportunities like crazy to support brothers and sisters all around the world. We've heard about a few, you know, even just today. And Jesus teaches us to care for fellow followers of Christ just as we would care for a beloved mother or brother or sister. And so this morning, I would invite us to be really mindful of the mothers and the sisters in our congregation, those for whom today is a day of great joy, and those for whom today is more of a challenge, and to love all the people, all of the women in our church, as mothers and sisters, as Jesus invites us to in this text. And I'm going to invite us, we're going to join together in prayer for the breadth of experiences that are felt on a day like today, for those that are experienced by even people in our immediate church family, but also those who experience these things in our broader church family today. So I'm going to use as a guide a prayer by Reverend Ashley Ann Masters. She's a pastor and chaplain and author and theologian from the great city of Chicago with not such a great hockey team. So please pray with me. Creator God, for those who got pregnant right away and those who have been trying for years, for those who entrust their children to the care of another family, for those who cannot wait to welcome a baby into their home, and those who are terrified they are not fit to be parents, for those whose child will get a soccer scholarship and those whose child will never run. For those who proudly pose for pregnant photos and those who shamefully hide their bellies. For those who are proud to be fathers and those who hope the DNA tests are incorrect. For those who pay child support and those who need child support. For those who fight with teenage daughters and those whose daughters have run away. For those who can pay for college and those who cannot pay for basic needs. For those who homeschool and those who fear their children won't make it home from school. For those who think their son is the best surprise of their life. For those whose children are in prison and those whose children want to be corrections officers. For those whose baby doesn't live outside the womb and those whose wombs are empty. For those taking hormones and those who feel exhausted from hormone changes. For those grieving what will never be and those amazed by what life has become. For those who are single parents and those who are now step parents. For those who have an empty nest and for those whose nest was never full. For the couple who is closer than ever and the couple getting divorced. For all your children of all ages, hold them close to you, Lord God, and give them life in your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.